Well, I was reading in the paper this week, page 10 of the Arizona Daily Star, and came across an interesting article. This was yesterday, page 10. Dublin, Ireland. When nature calls at 30,000 feet, is $1.40 a wee price to pay? Or could it force passengers without correct change into a whole new kind of holding pattern? This is true. They're thinking about this. The head of the budget European Airlines, Ryanair, unleashed a flood of indignation when he suggested that future passengers might be obliged to insert a British pound coin for access to the laboratory to get in-flight relief. So there you go. Next time you guys are flying, it's coming on your way. If you fly Ryanair, you're going to have to use a vending machine. Now, they have these in Europe all over everywhere. I don't know if you've been to Europe, but if you go to England, you have to pay to use the toilet. And did you know that the first vending machine actually came out a number of years ago? The first recorded reference to a vending machine is found in the works of Hero of Alexandria, a first century engineer and mathematician. His machine accepted a coin and then dispensed a fixed amount of holy water. When the coin was deposited, it fell upon a pan attached to a lever. The lever opened up a valve which let some water flow out. The pan continued to tilt with the weight of the coin until it fell off, at which point the counterweight would snap and the lever would go back, turning off the valve. I'm talking about vending machines today. I got an interesting email about vending machines. This is actually a true story. Bill owns a company that manufactures and installs car wash systems. Magic wand car wash systems, just in case you want to buy one. Bill's company installed a car wash system in Frederick, Maryland for a gentleman. Now understand that these are complete systems, including the money changer and the money-taking machines. The problem started when the new owner complained to Bill that he was losing significant amounts of money from his coin machines each week. He went as far as to accuse Bill's employees of having a key to the boxes and ripping them off. Bill just couldn't believe that his people would do that, so they set up a trap for the thief. Well, they caught the thief in the act, and we've got some pictures of what he found. Let's see if we can get these up there. The first one is a bird in the coin slot, and the next picture shows the bird leaving, or no, ducking deeper, and then the next one, and the next one, the bird's taking off. Is that the last one, or is there one more? Yeah, there we go. Well, they caught the thief. Turns out that this is a true story. And that the guy said that he had lost 4,000 and change. It wasn't quite that much, but it was a significant amount of money that they found littered on the rooftop of this car wash. Because what are the great things about vending machines is that you just go up, you put in your money, and you know you're going to get what you want to get. And now vending machines are becoming very popular. I don't know if you know this, but they're really popular over in Japan. So let's just take a look at some vending machines that we have in Japan. You can buy eggs. You can buy, next one is umbrellas. You can buy umbrellas. You can buy toilet paper. You can buy novels. You can buy iPods. You can buy fries. I couldn't read my writing. You can buy tasty fries. Can you believe that? You can buy vegetables. You can buy a Pope coin. You can buy sandwiches. You can buy socks. You can buy cars. No, you can't buy cars. They made it to look like a vending machine, but it's not really a vending machine. When you put the money in, you get a little slip that says, buy our car. That's a smart car. Today I want to talk about vending machines because they're so convenient and they're so much a part of who we are as a culture. You see them everywhere. They're in airports. They're in schools. As a matter of fact, if you go right out here, you'll see a vending machine for Coca-Cola. Every time I go to Phoenix and I stop at the rest stop, there's all these vending machines. Vending machines are part of who we are. But I wonder if they've become too much a part of our culture. Today we're going to continue our series on prayer. And I think sometimes that when we pray to God, we treat God like a vending machine. That we're just going to put in our prayers and our faith, and all of a sudden out comes the thing that God's going to give us. And we don't even give it second thought. And all we ever pray to God are things that we want from Him. God, we want a new car. God, we want a new job. We want this, we want that. And those are the things we pray for. But God wants much more than that out of our prayers. He doesn't want to be just a vending machine God. He wants to be your best friend. And I want to talk about this morning. I want to turn to our letter to Timothy from Paul. You have to remember that Timothy was Paul's protege. And there's lots and lots of good advice to Timothy on how to live the Christian life. And so Paul's talking to Timothy, and we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. This is what Paul says to Timothy. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. So Paul, when he's talking to Timothy about prayer, he doesn't just say pray for those who are in authority over you. He throws out all these different words for prayer. He says prayer, requests, intercessions, and thanksgiving. And if you go back to the original Greek, you'll find out that there's a bunch of different words here that Paul's just using just to pray for authorities over you. The first one is a Greek word, poiesthai, and it's translated in Latin as supplicare. It's a prayer that has this meaning to be on one's knees, to humbly bow before God, to be in awe of God and His power and His majesty when you go to Him in prayer, this supplicare, which in the King James version, it's supplications. Come to God with your supplications. Humbly bow before Him. But he doesn't stop there. He goes to the next word, which is deesis, which is a petition or a supplication. In Luke chapter 1:13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer. Day and night prayers, constantly prayer, coming to God all the time. I'm reminded of this quote from Abraham Lincoln, where Abraham Lincoln says, I've been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. Even for Abraham Lincoln, constantly, day and night praying, knowing that there's only one place to pray. The next one is prosukes, which is a prayer praying earnestly, intently, focusing your eyes on God and focusing on Him alone and wiping out everything else. When Luther was sitting at his table and his puppy happened to be at the table, he looked for a morsel from his master and watched with open mouth and motionless eyes. And then Martin Luther said this, oh, if only I could pray the way this dog watches the meat. All his thoughts are concentrated on the piece of meat. Otherwise, he has no thought, no wish, no hope. To constantly pray to God. And the last one is prayers of thanksgiving. The entuxis ecusteristias. To always thank God for everything. Even in our prayers, even in the hard times, to pray for God for thanksgiving. Even when it's economic bad times, to praise God for thanksgiving. So just in that one little section from 1 Timothy, when Paul's telling Timothy to pray for leaders, he gives four different ways to pray. It's not just pray for your leaders and make sure that the leaders are going to make sure the economy's okay. It's pray earnestly, pray intently, pray day and night, pray on your knees, worship God, pray God for thanksgiving. Prayer is not just God and a vending machine and us going in and putting the quarter and getting our prayers from God. I want to talk today about another model that you might consider. Some of you may have heard this model before. It's a model that when you pray to God, think about this. Don't just ask God for stuff, but follow this model. And it's called the ACTS model, the ACTS model. Some of you may have heard of it before. And I want to go through this model with you this morning. The first A in this model is adoration. From the Greek ad ora, to the mouth. I guess a long time ago, it was an act of homage or worship, which among the Romans was performed by raising the hand to the mouth and then throwing it towards the thing you were worshiping. That adoration. There's an excellent example of adoration from our Old Testament lesson today from King David. King David in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 13. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our fathers, Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness of the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come to you, and you are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." Listen to that. He's not just asking God for things. He's praising God for stuff. How many times does this happen in your life? Where you just are in awe and majesty of something God's done for you, or something that you see that God has done for somebody else, or just God's creation. How many of you have been down to Havasupai and seen the falls? I remember the first time I hiked down that mile hike to Havasu Falls and stood there looking at the three falls and the pools of blue. It was the most amazing thing. There are times in life when you just say, "God, what an amazing God you are. What an amazing creation you've created." Or maybe when your child was born and you held that child in your arms and you adored God for such a beautiful child. To praise God. One of my favorites is Cienega Creek Preserve. It's not too far from here. We've taken the youth there. And you wouldn't even expect it to be there, but you walk down Cienega Creek Preserve, and all of a sudden there's green grass and trees and water and chirping birds and frogs, and you say, "My goodness, where'd this come from? We live in the middle of a desert." And we get on our knees and we adore the God that created it. But I think sometimes we don't adore the things that God created. We look at things that he's created, this creation, and we just kind of let it go pass by. God wants you just to simply praise him for his creation. And you are one of his greatest creations. And he wants to praise you. He wants to be proud of you. And because you've been redeemed by Jesus Christ, he can be proud of you. And he is very proud of his important creation. So that's A for adoration. The next one is C for confession. You know, you know what it's like when you've done something wrong, when you've hurt somebody, and there's that tension between those two people, and you know it's just not going to feel right until you go to that person and you work it out, and maybe you've sinned against that person, and you go to that person, you say, "I'm so sorry for what I did," and you confess your sins to that person. And sometimes that person will forgive you, and they can mend that relationship. But there is one who will always forgive you. One who, when you go to that person, you confess a sin to them, he will always forgive you because you are his child, bought and purchased by Jesus Christ. And that is Jesus. That is you. Jesus Christ, you can go to God, and because of him, because of Jesus, you can ask for that forgiveness, and he'll give you that forgiveness. It's what he says in 1 John 1, 8 through 9. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." But here's the clincher. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins to purify us from all unrighteousness." You can go to another person and ask for their forgiveness. You can even come to your pastor and say, "I've done something wrong," and I will, in the stead of Jesus Christ, say, "He forgives you of that sin," and you can be known of it. But you can go directly to God himself and say, "God, I've wronged. I've done something horrible." And he will forgive you. That's his promise to you. C, sometimes go to God for confession. The third one is thanksgiving. And I love this story from John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is on the hillside, and all these people come to him. And he says, "Let's feed him, Philip." And Philip's like, "It would take months' wages to feed these people. What are you talking about?" And he says, "Well, let's see what we do have." So they get the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, and he puts it in front of him. Now, if you'd been in that situation, what would you have prayed for? "Oh, God, please do something here. Make this fish work. I don't know. You know, open up a vending machine and put it over there. Let all the people go, put in their quarters. They come back and they can eat." Not Jesus. Not Jesus. He simply gives thanks because he knows that God is going to perform a miracle. He knows that it's going to turn out right. doesn't even worry about anything. He just puts his hands over the bread and the fish, and he looks up to heaven and he gives thanks for what God is about to do. And God does it. And it's an amazing story, because when you and I give thanks, do we give thanks knowing for all the things that God has done in our lives? And sometimes it's hard to see what God has done in our lives. Sometimes we're so clouded by all the evil things that are going on around us, we have a hard time just stopping and praising God for the great things that he has done. The T is to give thanks. The last one we do pretty well, supplication. Supplication is simply presenting our requests to God. It's what we do all the time. Typically, our prayers are prayers of supplication. God, I'm having surgery next week. Please be with me in that surgery, and God will be with you. Prayers of supplication are the normal prayers that we give to God. But sometimes we don't even offer those prayers correctly. There was a story about a man named Ivan who had endured the horrors of the Soviet prison camp. And one day he was praying with his eyes closed when a fellow prisoner notices him and says with ridicule, "Prayers won't help you get out of this prison camp any faster." But opening his eyes, Ivan answers, "I do not pray to get out of prison, but to do the will of God." When you pray God for your supplications, for God to intervene in your life, know that he already has. That he's already intervened in your life through Jesus Christ, and he's there and he's with you. And even in the difficult times, when you pray to God, he is there. And when you don't pray for the right things, he's still there. And he takes those prayers and he offers them up to God as a living sacrifice, as a perfect sacrifice. He takes your prayers and makes them perfect before God. When you pray, don't just pray prayers of supplication. Think about this model, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. The truth is, you and I never pray for the right things. We're not perfect. We pray for what we want. God takes our prayers and prays what's good for you. In our worship service, we actually follow this format. I don't know if you know that, but we get together and we praise God through adoration. And then we confess our sins, right? And then we hear the word of God and we thank God through that word. And then we have our prayers. Our prayers of supplication. We follow this model. It's a good model to follow. God is not a vending machine. God wants this relationship with you. He wants you to come to him for everything, for adoration, for confession, for thanksgiving, for supplication, and a myriad host of other things, just like me and my wife, Jennifer. He wants you to just come to him and talk to him about anything for everything. Now, you may not like the ACTS model. You might want to change the ACTS model. You might want to move the words around a little bit. You might want to change it around a little bit. So I'll give you another hint. If you don't want the ACTS model, if you are a politician, you can do the TACS model, the tax model. If you study animal diet, you might do the SCAT model. That's terrible, isn't it? You can do it. You can move it around however you'd like to. But in your prayer life, know that Jesus Christ is with you, and he wants to be with you, and he wants to have that relationship with you. In his name, amen.